Melachim Aleph, Perak Ches. Oz Yagel Shloimei Zikne Yisrael, Ves Kol Rosh Yamatos, and Sia Ovis of Ne Yisrael, El Melech Shloimei Yerushalayim, Lahalois, Es Oren, Bris Hashem, Meir David, Yitzio. And so finally, we finished being in Beis HaMikdash, and now Shloimei HaMelech gathers the Shivim Zkenim, we need the Shivim Zkenim, because we want to sanctify, we want to be Mekadesh, the Azara. In order to do that, you need to have the Shivim Zkenim. You can't do it just alone. You need to the Shivim Zkenim. And that's why he's gathering them all, because he needs them to be Mekadosh Da Azara. Because a building by itself is very nice, but it needs the Kedusha. So that's what he's doing right now. Now, what he's also doing, in addition, is he is bringing the Arayin that was really carried with Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, right, for 40 years, then was brought to the Eretz Yisrael. And after the whole episode, when they tried to move it from Plishtim, and the two Uzzah and... I forgot his brother's name. Right, they tried, it was, the Aron slipped, they tried to catch it, they ended up dying.
Aziel.
And they brought it to Ovid Edom Egiti, to his house, and once they brought it there, the household of Ovid Edom Egiti had a lot of bracha, had a lot of blessing, and David Melech realized what a bracha comes from the Arayin, and old Bnei Yisrael also realized what a bracha comes from the Arayin. Until before that, people thought the Arayin is a cause of death. It caused these two Kohanim to die. But when they saw that his household of Ovid Edom Egiti became blessed, they realized that the Aron brings bracha, and then that's when David brought it to Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Didn't they used to bring the Aron with them into battle?
Right. That's when it got captured originally by the police team.
They found this out before they got captured.
I think all his daughters.
No, first they used to bring the Aron into battle, then eventually got captured by the police team.
But wouldn't they brought into battle because they thought it was a bracha?
No. They thought it was a bracha. They knew it was a bracha, right? But so they brought it into battle with them, and then it got captured by the Plishtim. Then the Plishtim sent it back to Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. They sent it back to Eretz Yisrael. And then when they tried to bring it to Yerushalayim, that's when it killed these Tukoyanim. Because they tried to touch it, and you're not allowed to touch the Arayin. Because they tried to...
It's just confusing, because you said they thought it was like a cause of death.
Right, they thought it was a cause of death, because it killed these Tukoyanim. Okay. Tukoyanim tried to touch the Arayin, and it killed them. The Arayin killed them. So people looked very negatively at the Arayin after that. But then when they saw that the bracha came to the household of Ovid Edom Egiti, that's when they realized that it's really a source of bracha. And that's when David Melech brought it to what's called Ir Tzion, Ir David. So now Shlomo Melech is bringing it finally to its proper place, to the Beis HaMikdash, where it belongs. And that's really what, that's really its place. This is the first time they're having the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk Beis continues, Vayikalu el HaMelech Shlomo kol ish Yisrael b'yeruch ha'isanim b'chag hu ha'chodesh ha'shvi'i. He gathered everyone in Yeruch ha'isanim. Which month is Yeruch ha'isanim? Yeruch ha'isanim is the month of Tishrei. Why is it called Yeruch ha'isanim? Because in the month of Tishrei were born Eitonei ha'olam, the strong people of the world, which are the Avos HaKadoshim. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all born in Chodesh Tishrei. Adam Rishon was also born in Chodesh Tishrei. That's why it's called Yeruch ha'isanim, the month of the strong, because the strong were born then. Another pshat is it's called Yeruch ha'isanim because the Yamim Tovim that fall out during Tishrei are strong, are powerful Yamim Tovim. Like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, these are very powerful, potent Yamim Tovim. That's why it's called Yeruch ha'isanim, the month of the strong, which is the seventh month, again, according to the Shita of the account from Nisan. Yeah. So everyone gathered, and who carried the Aron? The Kohanim. Who carried the Aron in the Midbar? The Levim. Right? Why are the Kohanim the ones carrying the Aron over here? Right? Should be the ones. It's always the Levim. It's their job to carry the Aron. That's what it was traditionally. But because the reason is that they're bringing the Aron to where are they bringing it to? They're bringing it to... Exactly, bring it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim is only accessed by
Kohen Gadol.
The Kohen Gadol, right. Well, the Kohen Gadol, essentially. Yeah. The only the Kohen Gadol walks in. and only on Yom Kippur. But because obviously the Kohen Gadol can't do it alone, can't do it by himself, so there's a hierarchy. There's a Kohen Gadol, right? So he can't do it by himself, he can't carry the Aron all alone. So who comes after the Kohen Gadol? The rest of the Kohanim. After the Kohanim come the Levim, right, and so on and so forth. So because they're bringing the Aron all the way to the Azara, you try to go to the highest hierarchy possible, and that is the Kohanim. And that's the reason the Kohanim are now carrying the Aron and not the Levim. Pasuk Dalet, Vayalu is Aron.
Keep everything inside?
We're going to get there. We'll see.
But what do you carry? Only
everything. Well, they carried the Aron. We'll see what was inside the Aron. And we'll see what was on the Aron as it was displayed in the
Kodesh Kodashim. The Aron carried itself.
Right. The Aron noises, nice up. Right. It only looked as if they were carrying it, but really the Aron was carrying itself.
I mean,
right.
So why?
But again, you have to have someone. It's got to appear. You're not going to have the Aron floating on its own into the Kodesh Kodashim. It's got to appear as if they're carrying it.
The Levim always carried it.
That's right.
I mean, so you would have needed was the Kohen Gadol. You didn't need the rest of them.
Yeah, the Kohen Gadol can't carry it by himself. You're right. It already carries itself, but it's got to look as if people
look
are...
like
yeah.
they're carrying.
Yeah, it's got to look as if they're carrying it.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you can't have the Kohen Gadol do it alone. Yeah. Pasuk Dalet. V'yalu us'aron Hashem v'es'oil moed v'es'koz u'klei ha'kodesh asher bo'oil v'yalu o'isom ha'kohanim v'levim. So now the rest of the kelim are brought by the levim as well, because these kelim are not being brought to the kodesh ha'kodashim. Excuse me, they're being brought to the Eichel. The Eichel is accessed by the levim as well. That's why both the Kohanim and the Levim are bringing the rest of the Kelim. Right, as it's obviously a big celebration, everyone is gathering. They're bringing all the korbanis. This is really we're now establishing that the korbanis can now be brought only in the Beis Hamikdash. Until now, the korbanis were allowed to be brought with the bomais. The bomais are these just random mizbechais spread out, scattered throughout the different cities in Israel. And because they didn't have a Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have a place where, you know, we were supposed to bring the korbanis. So they just brought anyone, you know, in the city, you just build a mizbech and bring a korban wherever you live. You don't have to schlep all the way to the Beis Hamikdash. But now that there is a Beis Hamikdash, the only place you're actually allowed to bring a korban is in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbech of the Beis Hamikdash. So now they're establishing that the korbanos are being brought in the Beis Hamikdash only. Pasuk Vav, Vayavia Koyanim was Aron Bris Hashem El Mekoyimai. The Koyanim now place the Aron in its El Advir. Dvir, as we said, is the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's called Dvir because that's where the Dibur, the speech of Hashem, so to speak, is coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim between the Kruvim. That's why it's called the Dvir, Loshen, the Dvar speech. El Abayis, Abayis La Kodesh HaKodashim, El Tachas Kanfei HaKruvim. Ki HaKruvim Parisim Knafayim El Mokam Orin, Vayasuchu HaKruvim Al Orin Vel Badov Milamalo. So the Kruvim, as we said, the Kruvim, each wing of the Kruvim was 5 Amas. So there's 2 Kruvim, which means 4 wings altogether. And it says that the edge of one wing would touch the end of the other wing, which means that the wings went the whole length of the Kodesh Kodashim. How long was the Kodesh Kodashim? 20 Amas. Right? 20 by 20. It was a square. Right?
Yeah.
20 by 20. Altogether, the Beis Hamikdash was 60 amas long. Right? So you had 20 by 20, that was the Kodesh Kodashim. Then you had another 20 by 40, that was the Heichal. Right? Clear? Yeah? So now if you think about it, if you have 20 amas, each wing is 5 amas long. Right? You have one wing, another wing, and then this wing is touching the edge of the other wing, right? So you have 4 wings along the whole along the whole length of the Kodesh Kodashim. Each wing is 5 Amos. What does that bring us to? 5 times 4 is 20 Amos.
Well, it's 10 long, though. They're facing each other, correct?
No, but it says one edge of the one wing would touch the edge of the other. And it was so like this. They were facing each other, yeah, but it was kind of like that.
I thought it was from... All right.
In any case, so if you think about it, if you make the calculation, it comes out there was no room for the actual body of the Kruvim. Right? Because the wings would take the whole space. And so the Mefarshim explains that it was done by Derech Neis. Derech Neis, the body fit in somehow. And
you're only bringing that. What about the rest of it?
Of what?
They had a whole courtyard in the Midbar. It's a whole big thing, and then they had the Mizbeach over different ones and all these things. What did they do with that?
That wasn't outside.
That was outside. That was all outside.
Inside the.
How can you put all that business inside? Is only 20.
The Mizbeach was all outside.
Huh?
Mizbeach was outside. Mizbeach Chitzoin, it's called. The outside Mizbeach. Chitzoin means outside.
Right.
That's where they brought the Karbonis. The Menorah and the Mizbeach HaKtoires and the Shulchan Aponim, that was inside. That was in the Heichal. That's where the Kohen Gadol would fix the Neiris. He would light the Neiris. They would eat from the bread. Right? The bread was one of the 10 Nisim that occurred in the first Beis Hamikdash. That did not happen in the second Beis Hamikdash. Right? The bread stayed warm for that whole week, as if it came right out of the oven. You could have a small piece of bread, and it would fill you up as if you ate a full meal. That was one of the Nisim. That was only during the first Beis Hamikdash.
I heard that there was something that even though that they knew it was like 20 square almost, that you couldn't take a measurement from one wall to the other. Like the measurements that they would take don't add up.
Right. Exactly. So that's what we're referring to because it was a Midrash Neis, because if you think about it, if you make the calculation, there's no room for the body of the Kruvim, because the wings take up all the area. But again, it was done with Midrash Neis, so the numbers didn't add up. It was a Neis. So let's see the next pasuk. Vayarichu abadim vayirou rashi abadim in a kodesh al pnei advir v'loyirou achutza vayusham ad hayoyim azeh. So this pasuk in particular is quite peculiar. What does it say? It says, Vayirou Rashi Abadim in a Kodesh. It says, they were seen to the Kodesh, meaning if you're standing in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, you'd see the Badim. But then it says, the next words say, V'loyirou Achutza. They were not seen outside. So decide, were they seen or were they not seen? Right, it's a steer in the Pasuk.
You could see it, push it out, but...
Exactly.
Under the...
So the Mefarshim explained that you couldn't see the actual Badim, but the Badim were pushing out. Again, there was a Pareches. There was kind of like, this kind of Pareches. So the Badim were pushing out against the Pareches. And that's... You could see the shape of the Badim against the Pareches, and that's what was sticking out. And it looked like it looked like two appendages of a woman... having the pareches sticking out like that. Now the Mabmavir explains why this image of two appendages of a woman. So he explains over here.
He made bigger. The Badim weren't the same Badim. They were bigger Badim.
Right. Okay. So that we're gonna get to that in just a second. I just want to speak out this chat. So the Malbim explains because the Badim are compared to the spine. The spine connects the brain. All the way, it sends out the motions, the feeling sensors, right?
The nerves go through
the spine, and that's what delivers it all the way to the brain, right? And so now, since the Badim are compared to the
vertebrae,
the vertebrae, the spine. Therefore, right, that sends off the sensors, right, the nerves to the rest of the body until all the way until the heart, right? And the heart is where the actual activity takes place. That's what keeps the body alive, right? So it's the body really used as the connectors, so to speak, that are connecting the brain to the heart. It all goes through the spines because the nerves all go through the spine, right? So that's why this image of these badim coming out of the heich of the kodesh kodashim, the badim pushing against the pareches, the image was like two appendages of a woman, because that's where the heart is, and to signify that is where the action is taking place. This is where the kedusha is coming out of, and that's why it was done in that image. That's what the Malbim explains. Now, as Richard was saying before, if you look at the badim that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu made the badim that were 20 amas long, right? So now, we said the Kodesh Kodeshim is how long? 20 amas, right? It's 20 by 20. So if you think about it, you put the aron smack in the middle of Kodesh Kodeshim.
Take up the whole place.
Right, but the badim are not supposed to stick out, right? It's exactly 20 amas. The badim that Moshe made were 20 amas long. So why is it sticking out? If you put it smack in the middle, it's supposed to be the exact length, right? Why is it sticking out against the pareches? As if there's not enough room for it. So there's three pshatim that are brought down. One pshat that's brought down is that really Shlomo HaMelech made different badim. He did not use the badim that were made by Moshe, that were 20 amos long. He used different badim. And that's why when it says in the pasuk, Vayarichu habadim, they were lengthened. That actually means that Shlomo lengthened them. He made longer badim. They were not the same badim the Moshe Rabbeinu used. That's one pshat. That's why they're sticking out. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the aron was really not sticking out. It was not sitting in the middle. It was really sitting a little bit towards the heichal. And if you really put it in the middle, it would fit. It wouldn't be pressing against the pareches. But because it was more towards the heichal, that's why it was pushing out.
According to your first pshat, what did they do with the Moshe's badim? I mean, they're holy. What did they do with that? Disregarded it?
They probably did.
It says they put everything
where could they put it?
They lengthened
them.
They used the original ones.
They
throw it out.
Why not?
Because it's Kodesh.
They probably put it in Gniza. They could bury
because it was used for that.
Yeah, they could bury it.
It says they put it away.
No, it's they lengthened them. They could have lengthened the original.
They added
on.
So I don't know. It's a good question.
According to that pshat, the other pshat is okay.
That's a good question.
It's the same one. According to him, where did they put it?
They probably put it in Gniza.
They put it away upstairs.
Yeah,
that's what
like
it says.
That.
They put all the stuff from the Mishkan.
It's not like you have an extra piece of wood and you disguise it. It was something Kodesh. You can't just put it any place you want.
Right. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I'm assuming they put it in Gniza.
When a Kohen went in there on Yom Kippur, where did he stand? Or where did he do the Avodah that he had to do there?
Well, yeah, I understand that he stood in front of the Aron. Meaning, it was, so to speak, like the speech of Hashem came up between the two Kruvim. So he was, standing in front of the Kruvim.
He had to duck under or
right.
Jump over.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
We don't know.
My video cam that was in the Kodesh Kodashim lost its feed. So.
It went off.
Yeah. To check Google Maps. In any case, so that's the second shot. A third shot brought by Tosis is that again it was done by the Arach Nes. Really, it was used, but it was the badim that were made by Moshe. They were really 20 amos long. They were supposed to fit, but by the Arach Nes, they stuck out a little bit in order to create this image of these two appendages of women, like we explained before.
He could have moved the proches, pushed the proches out, and walked in between. Who knows? We'll leave that for a while.
Yeah.
Till Mashiach comes.
Till next time. We'll ask Mashiach when he comes. B'kar v'aminu, amen. Yeah. Now it says in the end of the pasuk, it says v'yu sham ad ha'yemaseh. These badim, the arayin was over there, and up until this day. Now it obviously doesn't mean up until this day. It means until Yoshiyahu Melech buried them. There is a very intricate set of tunnels under the Beis Hamikdash that was created by Shlomo when he built the Beis Hamikdash. He dug these tunnels because he knew that there would be a Churban HaBayis eventually. And he did not want the Aron to fall into the wrong hands. So he created this intricate set of tunnels, and that's where the Aron is buried, up until today. That's where the Menorah is buried as well. The real Menorah is buried under Beis HaMikdash, under Har HaBayis. The Menorah that was brought by Titus, and it's sitting right now in the archives of the Vatican. That's not the real menorah. That's a replacement. That's a substitute for the menorah. They had one main menorah, and then in case the menorah had to be adjusted, fixed, they would bring in this other menorah. There were actually 10 menorahs, but they would bring another menorah to fill in. But the real menorah is actually sitting. It's hidden also together with the Arayin in this very intricate set of tunnels that I advise no one try and find it. In any case, let's see what was in the Arayin. Pasuk Tes. Ein ba'arayin rak shnei luchas ha'avanim asher niach shal Moshe b'chayrev, asher karas Hashem im b'nei Yisrael v'tzeisam me'eres Mitzrayim. Now, inside the Arayin was the shnei luchas. The two luchas. Now, the question is, which luchas is this talking about? Is it talking about the second luchas? Or is it talking about the shivri luchas?
The first ones
that were broken. So there are a few pshatim. One pshat is that the Shiva Luchas was actually sitting in the Aron as well. According to another pshat, there is also the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu that he himself wrote is sitting in the Aron. But the question is, where was it sitting? Was it sitting inside the Aron, or was it sitting on a shelf outside the Aron? So the Chosam Sefer has a beautiful pshat. He explains that really, after davening, we were supposed to say the Seres Adibris every single day. The reason why we don't do it is because of these people that might not understand. They'll think that there's more significance to the Seres Adibris more than the rest of the Torah. Right? The Seres Adibris is the main Torah, and then the five books of Moses is also secondary to the Seres Adibris, which is not true. Obviously, the Seres Adibris are very important, but it's still part of the Torah. It's part of the Torah. It's part of the Chamisha Chumshi Torah. The Chasam Sefer explains like this. He says that when the Jewish people were on a level where they could understand that the Seres Adibris are a part of the rest of the Torah, that's when the Sefer Torah was displayed outside. Right, because then they can recognize, okay, you have the Seres Adibris, but you also have this Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same thing, right? It's not one thing is more, it's not that Seres Adibris are more important than the rest of the Torah, right? But when they couldn't understand it, they were not on the level, they might have thought that, Seres Adibris are apparently on a higher level. That's when this Sefer Torah was hidden inside, and there was no shelf outside, everything was in the Arayin itself, because we were afraid of people making such a mistake. That's the pshat of the Chasam Sefer. Ve'ibatzei sakoyanim min ha'kodesh ve'onon mole esbeis Hashem. As the koyanim left the kodesh, the onon was full of beis Hashem. Ve'lo yochlo ha'koyanim lamad l'sharis m'dei onon ki mole kvod Hashem esbeis Hashem. The Onon apparently was the Shechina that was coming down to dwell in the Beis Hamikdash. Also, Amar Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkan Barafel. That's when Shlomo said, "Okay, now Hashem agreed to dwell in Darafel." Darafel means a very thick
mist,
very thick mist of. Another pshat is that Darafel means a mist is a place where it's very hard to see. I have very very little sight. So another pshat is that Shlomo Melech is now saying that Hashem was willing to dwell in this world that's very unclear, very confusing. This world is called Olam. The word in Hebrew is called Olam, Loshon Ne'elam. It's hard to see things for what they really are. And Shlomo Melech is now saying Hashem was willing to come down and be Shorei Shechina in this world where it's very hard to see the Shechina, very hard to see Yad Hashem. So now Hashem is saying, Shlomo Melech is saying, "Bono benesi beis zvul loch b'chaim eshiv t'chay lomim." And now built this house for Yehovah Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Yosef Melech is pana ve'yavarch is called Kal Yisrael. Chol Kal Yisrael oimet. He's now giving a bracha to the Bnei Yisrael. Ve'emar Baruch Hashem Alek Yisrael, Asher Dibra b'fiv es David Avi uv'yodai milei le'emar. Now he's saying that now he's addressing David his father. Why is he addressing David his father? Because right now is the time where everyone realized that the whole binyan of the Beis Hamikdash was really done b'schus in the merit of David. See, David Melech wanted to build the Beis Hamikdash. And he was not able to. Hashem told him, "You can't build the Beis Hamikdash. Your hands are full of blood. Your tafkin in this world is to fight the wars of Hashem. After you fight and you bring on peace for the Jewish people, because everyone is going to be terrified of you once you defeated all the enemies of the Jews, that's when your son will have the time and the space to build the Beis Hamikdash." And now, well, they wanted to actually come into the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash was locked. They couldn't get in. So Shlomo Melech started saying Mizmari Tehillim. He said 15 different Mizmarim. Still, nothing happened. Nothing would help. The Beis Hamikdash was locked. The doors would not open. Only when he mentioned his father David, that's when the doors finally opened. And that's when they were able to go in. And it says that beforehand, before this whole thing happened, people still suspected David that he did the wrong thing. He did the wrong thing with Bathsheba, and he was punished. He died a sinner, chas v'shalom, chayte. Even though the Gemara says, "Kol Eimer David Melech chayte eino elatoya," anyone who thinks David Melech made a sin is mistaken. But people—that was the misconception that people had. They thought David Melech really did the wrong thing. Once they realized that the whole entry to the Beis Hamikdash was only done with chus David HaMelech, that's when they finally knew that his chait, his sin, was forgiven. And that's when they understood that really David HaMelech did not do anything wrong, and if he did, he did tshuva for it. So now, we're going to stop here, but we're going to see next week, we're going to see how David HaMelech, how Shlomo HaMelech addresses the Jewish people, and he speaks about the milah of David HaMelech, and how really it's in his chus that we have the Beis Hamikdash. Mir Alameinu, we should be zeichet to have Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, Karev Mamish. Amen.